1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ariel Reshef. More aid is streaming into Gaza, but humanitarian groups say it's not enough. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry saying more than 6,000 have died since the Israel-Hamas war began. Hamas releasing two more hostages, and talks continue for the release of more than 200 others believed to be held by the terror group. 10 Americans are still unaccounted for, including John Polin and Rachel Goldberg's son, Hirsch, the 23-year-old, taken hostage at the music festival October 7th. ABC's Karen Travers says the parents are thankful for the support from President Biden, who spoke to families.
John Polin on their emotional phone call with the president.
He stayed on the call with 12 families of hostages for 90 minutes. His aides tried to pull him off, and he would not get off. And he listened, and he cried, and he was empathetic, and he's been really supportive.
The Biden administration says it is working to avert a broader conflict in the region. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer has won the nomination for House Speaker. This is ABC News. Texas lawmakers tentatively approved spending another $1.5 billion for a barrier along the Mexico border.
Border barriers are still a touchy subject around the Texas Capitol. When the State House Appropriations Committee discussed it on Monday,
he gave us information. And facts.
If you don't shut up while I'm trying to listen to this man.
The committee did eventually approve $1.5 billion for about 40 miles of new border barrier. The measure now heads to the full Texas House. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Hollywood actors and studios go back to the negotiating table today. Talks resuming for the first time since they broke off abruptly nearly 2 weeks ago. Several studio executives are expected to participate. The walkout, now more than 100 days old, is the longest strike in the actors union history. On baseball, half of the World Series is now set. The Texas Rangers beat the Houston Astros, the defending champions, 11-4 in Game 7 last night. They'll play the winner of tonight's Diamondbacks-Phillies game. Ariel Reshef, ABC News.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State investigators are in suburban Milwaukee, where a police officer shot a man to death on the roof of a middle school. It happened in Germantown last night. Local police say they got a call around 6:30 last night about a man acting erratically in the school's parking lot. Eventually, they say he climbed on the roof and fired a gun at police. Officers shot back and killed him. There's no school in Germantown today. A bill has been introduced in the Wisconsin State Senate to rename a highway after Wisconsin's Native American code talkers from World War II. If passed, the bill would dedicate a stretch of I-90 between La Crosse and Toma as the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. State Senator Patrick Teston, who proposed the bill, said in a meeting with people from the Ho-Chunk legislature, he asked them if the state had a memorial or monument recognizing the efforts of indigenous people in the armed services. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at sounditouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome into a Tuesday, October 21st, 2023. It is 6 minutes past 12 noon. Welcome into our new time slot for those that might not have heard or have misheard. Lots of misinformation, as Trump once said, fake news. We're actually on at noon these days. So here we are. Mr. Zommers looking particularly cool today with your tie-dye t-shirt. What do you got on today, Mr. Zommers?
I do have a tie-dye t-shirt. It's got some white, some blue, some orange and yellow. It is, you can't read it, even if I did stand up and show the whole thing on the stream, because, you know, relatively dark colored shirt and black printing. It is from Lettuce Jam, that music festival at Wonka's Harvest that I went to over the summer.
Fantastic. Looking very colorful. And appropriate to wear cool clothing today. It is warm. Almost hot outside right now.
It's pretty toasty. You'll notice that Todd is back to wearing a t-shirt, despite it being in the season, you'd think, of flannel.
But no. No. I'm a t-shirt. I have opted for pants. We have decided not to have a pantsless Tuesday.
I had decided to have a pantsless Tuesday. It's pretty toasty.
It's and unusually warm weather throughout the state of Wisconsin, or at least most of Wisconsin. And but enjoy it, because it's going to get downright cold. Pardon me, I believe temperature is only in the 40s in some areas of the state by the weekend. So enjoy the weather, rather warm weather. Things are heating up out in Washington, D.C. as well. We're going to cover that for you. The latest on Tom Emmer being the nominee of the Republican Party for Speaker of the House as they try to sort out the chaos, which is the Republican caucus right now in the House of Representatives. We will talk about that. Also, Trump world flipping more than Cirque du Soleil actors. I mean, just people are flipping on Trump left and right. Jenna Ellis is the latest one to do so. Michael Cohen testifying right now as we speak. Trump, while this guy is testifying, tweeting out old tweets from Michael Cohen, just intimidating him right in the courtroom. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that. Also give you an update on what's happening with the war on Israel and Hamas, a Wisconsin connection there. And it, pardon me, a little frog in the throat, Mr. Zommers. I'm not sure what's going on.
Need to take a little sip of water.
Maybe. And remember, as David Letterman likes to say, anytime you see me, your radio and streaming friend, enjoy a beverage is a great time for you, the listening audience, to take a beverage as well. Here we go. All we're missing is Paul Schaefer and a little piano music, but that's fine. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could book Paul Schaefer?
You know, no harm in trying.
No harm in trying. Better chance the Badgers win on Saturday. Oh, I actually think they could win on Saturday. It's teeing itself up to one of those key Wisconsin wins. Ohio State comes into Camp Randall on Saturday. A lot more about that as the week progresses. Did we say 12:30? Our friend Luke Mathers. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. He will be
12:30 or 1:30?
12:30 today.
First hour
he's very well. Just he wanted to be on at 12:30. I said anytime you want. So we got Luke Stern at 12:30. We're going to talk about some things down from his original neck of the woods in kind of southeast Wisconsin, Menominee Falls. There are some book bannings in 2023. We're not talking about Salem or witch hunting. We're talking about Menominee Falls, Wisconsin in 2023. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. Also, happier news, Giannis Antetokounmpo signing a new 3-year extension with Milwaukee Bucks. So that's some good news out there.
He loves Milwaukee, man.
Right.
And we love him.
We love him.
Also, so. Speaking of the frog in the throat, Jeff Perry has commented on Facebook with some good advice. The best cure for a frog in the throat, no pants.
What? I'll remove them right now. As a matter of fact, I won't. I'll keep the pants on. I did that one time when I worked at the Capitol. It looked like he had regular shorts on, but I told the staff we were going to have pantsless Thursday and nobody believed me. And so I went to work, and then right outside our office door, I removed my pants, put them over my arm, and just walked in and acted like nothing unusual was going on.
You got to commit to the bit.
you got to commit to the bit. Exactly. That's what your tax dollars were paid for. It was all in good-natured fun, for goodness sake. But we'll keep our pants on, and 12:30, Luke Mathers will be here, and we'll talk to him as well. And then coming up in hour two, our brand new segment, What's Worse? Have a brand new question for you at hour number two. You can call in and participate in What Is Worse. So all that coming up here on the big program today. And of course, your calls as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to what is breaking at this hour. Representative U.S. Congressman Tom Emmer of our next door neighbor, Minnesota, has emerged as the House Republicans' latest speaker nominee after GOP members conducted a multi-round secret ballot voting session this morning. According to Representative Elise Stefanik, Emmer defeated a panel of 7 other fellow Republicans this morning to earn the nomination. However, it remains to be seen whether he will have the necessary votes on the House floor to get the gavel. Here's how it went down. Emmer got 117 votes. Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana got 97. 5 other people voted for someone else, and the one person voted present. Even in caucus, somebody just voted present. Is Emmer the guy? And could Democrats help this guy out? Maybe not vote for him, but how can Democrats help? There are rumors on Capitol Hill. We'll let you know what they are. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 63. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 49. Overcast skies. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High of 59. chance for scattered storms. Thursday, chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 53.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along on the program. Should Democrats help Tom Emmer be elected Speaker of the House? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Should Democrats help Tom Emmer, who is the nominee currently for Republicans for House Speaker? He got 117 votes in caucus, still short of the 217 total needed to win the speakership on the floor. Now you ask, who the heck is Tom Emmer? Well, he is the House Majority Whip.
And now hold on a second, Todd. What the hell is a House Majority Whip?
Contrary to popular belief, there is BDSM in the House of Representatives. There are whips, but no chains, as it turns out. That's actually a great question, and I appreciate you asking it because I've been around this stuff for so long, it just becomes second nature to me. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people say, why are you using the term House Whip? Thank you.
I'm not just asking that for the audience. I have no idea.
You know what? I bet you there are a lot of other people that don't know either. Thank you for so very much for asking. A House Whip, and you can have a House Majority Whip and a House Minority Whip. And they use the term, and it's a very dated term. And quite frankly, it's a little surprising that it's still used. Because what it means, so you have the majority, so you know, you have the Speaker of the House, then you have a majority leader, the person who is elected by their own caucus to lead their party in the House. So you have a majority leader and a minority leader in the House. You also have an assistant majority and minority leader in the House. So that makes sense, right, so far. And then you have something called the House Majority Whip and the House Minority Whip. And the House, the whip, is literally the person that is put in charge by the majority leader or by leadership in order to, I'm not making this up, whip votes into shape or whip members in, yes, just like that, to whip them into shape. Basically, the person in charge of counting the votes, but not just counting the votes. They're also, usually it's a person who has great diplomatic and or authoritative skills. Because what the whip does is he or she stays in touch with all the other members of their caucus, especially on important votes. And then they'll say something, you know, they'll count the votes and be like, well, how many votes do we have here? And then if there's anybody on the fence, all right, if they're on the fence, then it is up to the whip to, you know, figuratively, they don't actually use a whip that I know of, but figuratively whip that member into line. So if they're on the fence, you say, well, look, you know, can I help you understand this bill better? You know, can I help you understand how this is important to your district? That's the nice way to do it. And the not so nice way to do it, and this happens all the time. All right, if I can't help you understand how this helps your district, let me help you understand this. If you don't vote for this, we're not going to give you any money in your reelection, or we will find somebody to primary you. I mean, that probably isn't used. Well, I don't know. I was going to say not that often. I think it's used more often now, but it's the very partisan person in your caucus. But usually it's someone who you don't want to go that far first. You want to be diplomatic. You want to say, how can I help you get there? What kind of an amendment can I put on this bill to get your vote?
I doubt that's still the practice based right. on how the Republican Party nationally, the leadership look.
Right.
I'm sure.
It's probably much more the threatening.
Yeah, if there was a whip like that, they are probably getting whipped out.
All right, exactly. That's a great question. I appreciate it because, again, somebody who has been in politics for 30 years is just second nature to me. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with politics. So great question, Mr. Thomas. I appreciate you bringing that up. So Emmer has served as this guy, has served as the person, the House Majority Whip. And so, therefore, he has this in already with a number of the members. He knows them because he's gone around and talked to them or their staff to get their vote. So Emmer said in a letter to his colleagues on Saturday, this past weekend, that he was seeking the speakership with the goal of delivering, quote-unquote, historic change. Now, Kevin McCarthy backed the Minnesota Republicans for speaker, which helped his candidacy in the early run. Emmer, here's the key on him. He's one of only two people that were up for consideration who voted to certify the 2020 election in a rebuke to former President Donald Trump. He's faced a lot of resistance so far, as you would imagine, from Trump supporters. The Trump War Room launched a campaign against Emmer over the weekend, trying to smear him. The House Freedom Caucus, also skeptical and not happy with him. The former National Republican Congressional Committee chairman was first elected to Congress. So Emmer, by the way, is also a former National Republican Congressional Committee chairman. What does that mean? An NRCC chairman, National Republican Congressional Committee. Well, that person is in charge of the political operation. So technically, by law, they can't run politics out of the Capitol, which, you know, on both sides happens some. But they actually have different offices kind of just across or down the street from the Capitol itself, where all of the political arms happen, where all the fundraising calls, they keep track of all their candidates for races across the country. That's what the NRCC, National Republican Congressional Committee, does. So Emmer was also the chairman of that. So the guy has some credentials. He was in leadership, a House whip. He's run the political arm of Congress for the Republicans. He was first elected almost 10 years ago in 2014, became the majority whip earlier this year. Emmer lost a race for Minnesota governor back in 2010. He was a state rep in the Minnesota legislature from 04 to 08. He sits on the Financial Services Committee. But here's the other thing to remember about Emmer. While he did not vote to throw out the results overall of the 2020 election, and good for him, he did sign on to a Supreme Court amicus brief in support of throwing out votes, particularly in Pennsylvania. So the guy is not pure on supporting free and fair elections, but at least he didn't vote to overturn the overall 2020 election in Congress. Now, here's the interesting part, and this is the reason for my question. According to Punch Bowl News, Jake Sherman, a few moments ago, House Democratic leadership last night expressed private openness to helping Emmer ascend to the speakership. Democrats wouldn't mind seeing Emmer lead the chamber, given he voted to certify the 2020 election. According to Punch Bowl News, House Democrats told Punch Bowl they find Emmer the least objectionable GOP speaker candidate. Think about that. He's not great. He's just the least objectionable Republican speaker candidate. Democrats say they'd be open to helping him, not by voting for him, but by sitting the vote out. If, and here's the big key, if they get private assurances that Emmer will A, fund the government at levels negotiated with the Biden administration and the Senate on the debt limit deal and put a Ukrainian plus Israeli aid package on the floor. Very shrewd negotiations right now in D.C. by Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. Say, look, we're not going to vote for you, but if enough of us sit out, you need fewer votes to become speaker. We would consider that. But we want your private assurance that you're going to fund and stick to the agreement we had with Biden and with the Senate on the debt limit deal. Make sure the government's funded. We're not going to shut down the government in November. And we want a Ukraine plus Israeli bill on the floor for aid. Emmer, and here's the thing, according to Punchbowl, Emmer wants to win the speakership, of course, but he wants to do it with Republican votes and apparently has signaled that he himself, Emmer, has no interest in negotiating with Democrats.
That seems like a really good person to lead the Speaker of the House, right? Somebody who has no interest in negotiating with people.
So once again, you know, we hear this narrative, right? Well, you know, Democrats, join these 7 or 8 Republicans to throw McCarthy out. Well, no, Republicans have the majority. The majority party has to govern. They have to lead, all right? But here, once again, Democrats, as we're being reported by Punchbowl, are saying, look, we'll help out here. Not by voting for you, but just by, you know, oh, geez, I had to use the restroom money to get back in time to vote. That kind of thing. They just don't show up. And you have enough of them that helps Emmer get elected. But Emmer is saying, no, I don't want that. I want to make sure I get elected by Republicans. Now, why would he say that? Because as it turns out, Emmer is a Trumper. Right? Emmer is all about Trumpster. And he's hurt. He's a little hurt now that Donald Trump has been going after him this weekend. Let me see if I can bring this up on my phone here for a second. Just bear with me because I had a... Here we go. This is a reporter, Sam Brody from Minnesota, who tweeted out last night saying, having covered Emmer since his first term, it's a bit surreal to see him get tarred for being anti-Trump. Back in 2016, Emmer was the only prominent Minnesota Republican to help Trump at all. He showed up at the NRC, Republican National Committee, when Minnesota's 2 other Republican representatives skipped. So look, Emmer is a Trumper all the way back to 2016. Mr. Zomers, we have time to play this Trump cut. All right, here's Trump from last night when asked about Emmer.
Do you endorse Tom Emmer for Speaker? He hasn't historically been your biggest fan, but he is the most likely candidate right now.
Well, I think he's my biggest fan now because he called me yesterday and he told me I'm your biggest fan. So I don't know about that. Well, we're looking at a lot of people and, you know, sort of trying to stay out of that as much as possible. But they'll get it straightened out. But no, I've always gotten along with him and I get along with all of them, really. A lot of good people. We have a lot of great people.
Trump tried to play kingmaker. Well, you know, he likes me now because he wants to be speaker. But, you know, I know we have a lot of good people. But, you know, yeah, look, he's fine. He's fine. As soon as Trump said that in New Hampshire yesterday, where Trump was filing his paperwork to run for president next year, Tom Emmer, on his official House GOP Majority Whip Twitter, tweeted out, quote, thank you, Mr. President. If my colleagues elect me Speaker of the House, I look forward to continuing our strong working relationship, unquote. Should Democrats help this guy be Speaker? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I'm not so sure. He's the least objectionable, but do we want him as Speaker? Give us a call. Your text as well. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Ariel Reshef. More aid is streaming into Gaza, but humanitarian groups say it's not enough. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry saying more than 6,000 have died since the Israel-Hamas war began. Hamas releasing 2 more hostages, and talks continue for the release of more than 200 others believed to be held by the terror group. 10 Americans are still unaccounted for, including John Polin and Rachel Goldberg's son, Hirsch, the 23-year-old, taken hostage at the music festival October 7th. ABC's Karen Travers says the parents are thankful for the support from President Biden, who spoke to families.
John Polin on their emotional phone call with the president.
He stayed on the call with 12 families of hostages for 90 minutes. His aides tried to pull him off, and he would not get off. And he listened, and he cried, and he was empathetic, and he's been really supportive.
The Biden administration says it is working to avert a broader conflict in the region. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer has won the nomination for House Speaker. This is ABC News.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A joint committee of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate is holding a hearing on a number of amendments to the state constitution today. One of them would add a photo voter ID requirement to the document. Most voters already have to show a photo ID to vote in Wisconsin. Another amendment would ban the use of private money or equipment to administer elections. It is just one of a series of changes state Republicans hope to make to the elections process. A pair of Republican lawmakers don't want the people making decisions about grants and loans for college to take an applicant's race into consideration. The same goes for gender, religion, or sexual orientation. A bill from Representative Nick Rettinger and Senator Eric Wimberger comes after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this year that colleges and universities can't use race when considering admissions. Under the bill, those decisions would be based solely on a student's financial need. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. It doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show. It is now 12:33. Mr. Zomers on the board. Our time can change. Our hours can change. Our clock, where we take breaks, it can all change. The weather can change. But one thing will remain the same. Tuesday Tangents with Luke Jamison Mathers. Mr. Mathers, always a pleasure. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. I walked in, I was like, "What? This isn't, what? Oh, this is the Todd Alba Show. All right, let's do it here on a Tuesday at 12:30.
Yeah, right.
Glad to be with you on the airwaves,
always,
friend.
Always a pleasure to be with you. So what do you think, we're I want to, before we move on, I want to get your take on this. So Tom Emmer, our next door neighbor, right? The House.
First time I've heard his name today.
He's the House Majority Whip.
That's a job.
Which Zomers asked a great question. He goes, what is that? So we went through a little, we explained what a House Whip does. Because, you know, for me, it's just second nature. But I think it was a great question because a lot of people don't follow politics.
That's fair.
What does that mean? Thank you very much.
I was like, what was that?
A little whip.
Well, Mr. Zomers, any familiarity with the show House of Cards?
I'm familiar with it in that I know House of Cards is a show.
Gotcha. See, that's how I found out when I was I was in college, binging that when it first came out. Yeah. Like, that was one of the first bingeable shows.
Right, it was.
And Frank Underwood, main character, Kevin Spacey's character, was the Democratic whip. And that was his job. And
so send it all the way up.
I think that's the only reason that I knew what a whip was because of that show, was knowing that you count the votes.
Right.
I could go back and watch that show, but I think going back and intentionally choosing to watch something with Kevin Spacey in it nowadays is kind of a...
It's a choice.
It is a choice.
But everybody else, I mean...
First three seasons of that television show, though, very, very good television. And the fact that he... we find out after the fact that he's a terrible person. That is hard, and it's one of those
acquitted. By the way, we have to add that.
Yes, acquitted. not acquitted of being a terrible person. Right. Acquitted of the
charges.
The charges accused of. Yes. You can still be a terrible person.
True.
That wasn't what he was on trial.
But the point is here, that show was so well written, and it was obviously written by people who had been in the game because it was almost just like. Going to work in some ways to watch this. I mean, there's a lot of truth. I mean, not to that necessarily extreme, but some of the things, the tactics, I mean, that's really used in politics.
Yeah, and the cinema quality.
Fantastic.
It marks one of the first bingeable shows in the era of streaming. You cannot deny that.
I think it was probably arguably one of, not the show that put Netflix on the map.
Yes, as its own production company.
Right.
Yes, as the streaming giant that it is now. Yes, and that is how I became aware of Whip. So without that show, I don't know if I would have known what Tom Emmer's job was.
So that's Tom. He also ran the RNCC, the political arm for Republicans, for a while. He was one of only two people up for the nomination who voted to certify the 2020 election. However, he did sign on to the amicus brief in the Supreme Court to challenge the results in Pennsylvania proper. So he's not necessarily pure on this. But now, according to Punch Bowl today, Democrats on the Hill are signaling that some may be, because they're so, as you know, Luke, this is a critical point. We've got the debt ceiling. The government could shut down in less than 30 days. We've got Israel.
November 17th, before Thanksgiving.
Right. We got Israel. We got Ukraine. We need leadership. And apparently now there are some Democrats who are saying, look, we just need someone. We'll take the least objectionable guy who actually voted to certify the election to get something done. And we're willing to maybe sit out, not vote for him, but sit out to lower the total needed and help get him elected. And Emmer is basically signaling back, no, I don't want you. Should Democrats
want your help?
Right.
Just let me earn it on my own?
Because he's already in hock with the Trump people. The Trump folks, the war room, were attacking and smearing him because he had the audacity to certify the 2020 election.
Unfortunately, I think that's smart of him. I think that the only way he's going to be elected by Republicans and not immediately voted back out, even if Democrats help, is if he not just licks Trump's boots, but like wines and dines his boots.
So, to your point, Mr. Summers, I agree. I don't think if I'm Tom Emmer or his staff, I think if they're a very selfish way, I think you're right. Because if they don't vote for you, if you say, well, I'm here because the Democrats sat out, you are a super weak speaker in that caucus. Agree or disagree, Luke?
I don't disagree with that statement. I don't know if I necessarily fully agree with it either. I mean, not only do American voters, but also these politicians, they've got memories of a goldfish. Like, we are all just, we are captive
to the immediate.
Well, in Ted Lasso, it's a good thing. You want to be like a goldfish. But we are all so captive to the immediate news cycle.
Yeah.
Where I don't know if like the traditional sense of consequences and having ramifications of, oh, well, you're only speaker because Democrats sat out. I don't know if that carries the same weight now that it may have before.
Right.
And so the fact that I don't disagree with that sentiment, that it would be kind of a relatively weak speakership. I think Kevin McCarthy had a relatively weak speakership as well. And nobody was talking about that until it came to the part where left the ability to have a vote of no confidence with one member.
But he kind of did that to himself.
Right. But that was the aspect of the weak speakership. And right. I guess you could say that was included in how he got the speakership in the first place, because it's the only way that he got the support after 15 rounds of voting. But it I don't know.
It's a mess.
It is. But if you were
advising Democrats, would you either sit out, would you do something just for the good of the country to get to make sure the government doesn't shut down and to support our allies?
I think Democrats, even without my advice and consultation, are of that mindset as it is.
You're here, and Hakeem Jeffries isn't. So.
That's fair. I think personally, if there is going to be assistance from any Democratic members of the House of Representatives for a speaker to become elected, there should be something in it for those individuals.
Well, yeah, and they said
it shouldn't be just the baseline of, oh, the government gets funded and are out. Like, there should be something. There should be a consequence for this dysfunction of Republican leadership, because that's what we're experiencing right now. Like, we are currently experiencing a dysfunction of Republican leadership.
They can't govern.
They cannot. And I don't know if they want to. And so
some of them don't. I believe that.
But collectively, as a whole, right now, they can't. So even though some of them might want to, as a whole, they can't.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting to me of the, we had a plus five Republican, or excuse me, plus five Democratic House last Congress. We now have a plus five Congressional House, for seats that switch from Democratic representation to Republican representation, like Wisconsin's third, previously represented by Ron Kind, now represented by Derek Van Orden. I think it'd be interesting to ask those voters, are you satisfied with the leadership that those votes ultimately led to?
Well, the third district, I would ask them, are you satisfied that your congressperson took off to Israel and didn't vote at all?
No, that's a very interesting point to add to the dynamic in Wisconsin's third.
Right.
But are you happy with your vote at this point? Are you satisfied with the outcome that this is led? That is a question I would love to hear from Wisconsin voters.
844-967-2789. If you want to join Luke Mathers and myself, 844-967-2789. Want to move on, Luke, to another story. Over the last couple of days, something I know that you folks were covering in the noon slot as well, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Menominee Falls High School bans 33 books from its collection. Story online by Rory, is it Linane, I believe? That's the journalist, says 33 book titles are being removed from Menominee Falls High School this week. According to district officials, they confirmed that in a statement, officials said the books are being removed because of, quote, sexually explicit content or profanity, unquote. District officials did not immediately explain who made that decision to remove the books, but said the books would be gone by the end of last week. The move appears to be one of the most sweeping book bans among those reported in Wisconsin in recent years. It swelled across the country. Now, many of the 33 books have been challenged by other districts, by Moms for Liberty, a very right-wing organization. The book list includes some of the titles that have been banned. The great author Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. Also, Slaughterhouse-Five and The Kite Runner. Some historic literature books that, you know, kids should have available to them, and yet they're banned. Luke, what's your thought on this?
I don't have a 14-year-old to 18-year-old. I don't know. Todd, you also? No 14 to 18-year-olds?
None that I know of.
So I'm not a parent of any children the age of Menominee Falls High School. Menominee Falls?
Yes.
The high school students that will no longer allowed to be able to check out these books from their high school library. Mm-hmm. But I got to assume the best way to have a 14 to 18 year old not read something is to ban it and tell them not to read it. Cause that, to me, I feel like that's one of those things they're just going to go out and read it.
Well, I mean, what's the, my sister's going to kill me, cause I'm sure, why don't you know that book? I can't remember the author off the top of my head. You know, Hey, Goddess, Meet Margaret. I mean, it's a book of coming of age of a young girl and teenage and hitting puberty and going through all those things that change the life that girls go through and then become women. And there's it's a Judy Blume, I think, is the name of the author. And so what groups like these Moms for Liberty, which of course it sounds all that's great. They're a very conservative, derogatory group that is extreme in their beliefs.
Well, this is the same group that was calling for all of the school board recalls back throughout 2020 and 2021. It's the same group that was working for bans like this to get kids back into classrooms, even though we still had unsafe procedures around COVID-19. They're very extreme demands by this organization. And to say that the best way to address anything is with just in education banning books is just very, very radical, and it is not an American approach.
Banning Hustler.
You know what you know what I think says it all?
What?
I'm reading the list right now, and one of the books they have banned is The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which is a book, for those of you who don't know, about a society in the future that has regressed in a lot of ways to a low-tech world where women are quite literally just objects. They stay at home, they clean, they forcibly have children, and they don't read or anything like that. And I think that's
sounds
very
like the Republican National Convention. But
yeah,
I'm
a little bit.
Sure. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Andrea in Menominee Falls proper. Andrea, thanks for joining us. I know this affects your community. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I tuned into the meeting online because I knew I couldn't conduct myself appropriately in person.
All right.
I think it's quite interesting that many people showed up to the meeting and they pulled a paragraph or a page out of the book that they thought was vulgar or inappropriate, and just read, you know, word for word, imaging about rape, about sex, about swearing, for this entire group to hear, and said, you know, some of these words I'm not even comfortable saying.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting strategy to try to trash the entire messaging of the book, or to pick a book that they know will be so inappropriate and so clearly sexual, and then tucking in a couple books, you know, written by people of color, just like how we were talking about The Handmaid's Tale, that have a really important message that people should be paying attention to. Just an interesting strategy that, you know, all of like six people used.
Right.
Another really interesting.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Another really interesting thing about the meeting is there was this divide. So there was about two sides. So there was like six people who showed up who, you know, read their paragraphs and applauded the board for protecting our children and all of that. And then there was the other side, which did have a split. But it was just such an interesting dynamic to see some people who said, yeah, I actually don't want my child to be exposed to this yet, or I want to expose this to them when I'm ready to talk to them about it. But I also don't support the school board telling me when I can and can't do that and stealing these books from my children and not giving me that right. And then, of course, the other side that just said, hey, like this, you can't just go against this policy that's in place. That's illegal.
Andrea, thanks so much for calling in. Andrea at Menominee Falls, really appreciate your on-site perspective there in the community. More on this, I'm sure, to come. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Bucks basketball. Mr. Luke Mather's wearing his Bucks hat today. Boingo.
Oh, yeah.
As he's set to go. Back after this, this is the Todd Alball Show. And this is the Civic Media. Ready to work.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 63. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level out for around 49. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level out for around 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 53.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hiding from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is noon 50 on the program. Mr. Zomers, what do you dial up there?
Well, you referred to the Bucks mascot as Boingo, so I dialed up some Oingo Boingo for you.
I appreciate that. As soon as I said it, I'm like, that's not right. What is it, Luke?
It's Bongo.
It's Bongo. See, Bongo. That's been my problem my whole life, is that I get my
Bongo. Or is it Bango? Now it's throwing me off. Is it Bango the deer or Bongo the deer?
I actually think it's Bango. See, I was half
Bango.
Right.
It is Bango. Okay, so now your Boingo is throwing me off because I'm like, wait, it's not Boingo, it's Bongo. And then, no, it's Bango. I'm like, wait, as soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. I was like, holy crap.
I'll see your Boingo and raise you a Bongo.
I'll raise you $168 million because that's what Giannis has got to stay in Milwaukee for the next 3 years.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Giannis is going to be here regardless whether we can remember the mascot's name or not. He is in Milwaukee, Lukester. For a little while.
There's going to be a 20-foot, like, have you seen the mural yet?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What would you say? That's a 40-foot, 50-foot mural?
Yeah,
There's got to be at least a 20, 25-foot statue that's coming his way one day in the city of Milwaukee.
It's about 50 Scaramucci's high.
I think something like that. Is that how you measure things? Right. Still? Okay. I thought that was a measurement of time, not well, height, you know. But whatever.
Goes both ways.
Okay.
so did I for a while. But anyway, that's another story. But Giannis is here. He's not going anywhere.
Correct.
He's gonna stay.
Well,
It's great for Milwaukee. It's great for the Bucks.
This is why it's so important to listen to local media, like Civic Media, exactly, here across the state of Wisconsin. Because if you were listening to the national outlets in recent months, ever since Giannis came out and said after a very difficult early exit from the playoffs last year. Number one seed losing to an 8 seed. That 8 seed did go on all the way to the NBA finals, but it was a tough loss. There was a lot of self-reflection from Giannis, the team, the organization. There's a new head coach now. They made a trade for Damian Lillard. But all of that happened after Giannis said, I want a commitment to winning. And the national media took that and said, well, I think Giannis is going to be in Chicago soon. Right. I think Giannis is going to be in New York soon. Mm-hmm. I think Giannis is going to go somewhere else other than Milwaukee soon.
But
and because he was on a Supermax contract, he could sign with the Bucks and solely the Bucks this offseason, or he could wait till next season, get paid a ton more, and possibly shop free agency. Mm-hmm. And they made the Damian trade. I think things are going well with the new head coach. I think there is a good feeling for going into this season that kicks off on Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. And Giannis announces last night that Giannis Antetokounmpo will be in Milwaukee for another 3 years on this extension.
Is it ironic or is it planned that this extension matches up with Lillard's contract?
I think it's probably that has more to do with the bookwork that a front office has to do. I don't know. Because I believe his initial extension was through either Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday's contract. So, like, it kind of just pairs up that way when you have really big superstars where there is just going to be some happenstance of layover for the contracts. And so I don't know if it's necessarily coincidental. I think it is more it just happened to go that way.
All right. Well, I think, again, it's great to have Giannis in Milwaukee. And Mr. Zomers, I think you got something queued up here because this happened while Luke was on his world tour and all of his fans.
This was one of the things that broke through because obviously I was paying attention to
Giannis. No way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So Luke told me before he left, he goes, don't call me unless it's burning down. I said, what's the standard for, like, do you want me to reach out? He goes, unless the house, my house or Civic is burning down, don't contact me.
And so we didn't.
And I didn't.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
There was fire, but there were no smoke, no flames yet. And so we did not. But so this happened while you were gone. Uh-huh. Giannis Antetokounmpo tried brats. For the first time at a Brewers game.
I don't know how it took this long for him to try his first brat, but one of the playoff games, I believe.
Yes, yeah. So here is Giannis trying a brat at AmFam Field for the first time.
First brat?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
There's a blue shoe I have.
Wisconsin,
right?
I know.
You were
good. No.
Green question mark. And I go to Greece. When they ask me, you're in the States? Where are you from? I was in Greece. I said, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay? I've been here like 10 years now. Good to 11.
No doubt, man. Good to have you.
he was just infatuated with this brat.
Yeah.
It was like the best thing ever.
On one of the other clips of the day, I love America. That's what he says. Yeah,
for some reason, this one is broken. The video just stopped right there. Normally, right after that, he says, yeah, I love America.
Yeah. I saw that, and that broke through in my time away. So over Giannis news comes through.
Giannis news comes through.
The Damian Lillard trade happened, and of course I knew about that almost immediately. And then I was watching some of the Giannis and sports stuff while I was away. Because to me, it's not work. I just enjoy that.
It's fun. Yeah. It is what you care about. 844-967-2789. Susan from her car. Susan, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
I hope Giannis is going to have a Sheboygan brat because they're the best, actually. but I really feel like this is kind of light stuff, and I appreciate you having it on there. But I am a sports person as well, but I get tired of players making the organization do what they want to do. And I guess partially because at the end of the day, it's a sport. And it doesn't really have a big impact on anybody else's life except that person who's making a lot of money. And, you know, I guess to me I love the Packers, but I got tired of the drama with Aaron and is he going to stay or is he going to go? And it was kind of the same thing with Giannis. Is he going to stay? But he really feels like he's entitled, which is fine. I mean, we all feel we have value to add, right?
Sure. But well, this is this is the deal of a contract, though. If we wait until offseason and next year, he could have made millions more from Milwaukee or another team. So this was the team-friendly deal of Giannis signing this three-year extension.
Okay, if you say so, because I don't follow basketball. But I think it's more to me. If there's more, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Sure,
there's more
I get it.
Important things whether Giannis plays a day or a week or a month, he could break his leg and then he'd be gone. And, you know, somebody else would have to pick it up. So in sports, for me, it's like there's always going to be somebody that has to fill in your place. Nobody is indispensable.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, Susan. Look, I appreciate Susan's viewpoint, but I actually think it's almost the opposite. To me, this is Robin Yount of the NBA, a guy who came here, who recruited only him, and he's trying to be loyal. To your point, he could cash out and get a hell of a lot more money next year.
Yeah, he could have signed another record-breaking deal next summer. He could have went to any city he wanted. Cities around the country, NBA franchises around the country are courting him. They want Giannis, and as the clip that Aaron played, he doesn't tell people that he's from Greece anymore.
Right.
He tells people he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. And that rarely happens. Like that
on any professional sport.
Yeah. But to have an athlete at that tier have that commitment to our city and our state, that's monumental.
And people can listen to the Milwaukee Bucks across the Civic Media Radio Network this year, including WRCE and Richland Center.
Yeah, Bucks and Six across six Civic Media markets.
I love it. Luke Mathers, your fantastic Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Thank you, my friend. Back with more on the other side, including what's worse. Don't miss it.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ari.